The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week, once again, is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about unlocking the power of dreams to transform your life. Our special guest is Bonnie Buckner, PhD. Let me give you a little bit of a background. You know, over the past three decades, researchers have noted a steady decline in creativity. That is the ability to find the essence of a problem, think it through critically, and imagine different ways to resolve it. Busy lifestyles, endless scrolling, and biases that favor efficiency over curiosity are partially to blame, but there is an antidote: learning to dream again. Enter our special guest, Bonnie Buckner, PhD, creative dreamwork expert. Harnessing the power of dreams has been her life's work, and what she has found in doing dream work with executives and creatives across the globe is we all have a secret mind, a part of our brain that knows exactly how to solve problems and fix creative slumps. Drawing from neurobiology and sociopsychology, this book, The Secret Mind, that we're going to discuss today, presents dreaming as a practice for both personal and global development, and with our guests, simple tools and exercises, a more beautiful creative world is just a dream away. And how it can enhance, our dreams can enhance our creativity, and how often dreams will mirror some of the issues we have and also offer the solutions to some of our problems. So I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation today with Bonnie Buckner, PhD, all about dreaming, all about using dreams to be creative and live your best life right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome a new guest to the show, Bonnie Buckner, PhD, founder and CEO of the International Institute for Dreaming and Imagery, where she teaches people how to use dreaming and imagery for personal growth, problem solving, and enhanced creativity. And I'm going to lean on that creativity because a lot of our discussion is going to be about that today. And that's a lot of what Bonnie's work is all about. She's used dream work as the basis for her work as an executive and creative coach for over 20 years and continues to serve as an executive coach and senior fellow at George Washington University's Center for Excellence in Public Leadership and co-faculty director of their co-leadership coaching certification program. And so I'm delighted to welcome Bonnie and also introduce you to her new book, which is called The Secret Mind. I'm holding it up for our YouTube and Rumble viewers. Unlock the Power of Dreams and Transform Your Life. So it's a little bit different than our typical discussion on dreams, and I'm delighted to do so. So welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Bonnie Buckner, PhD.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, my pleasure. And hopefully we can help our audience get to know more about not only dreams and the symbols, but also how they can use them to create. And that's really seems to be what's driving your work. So let's a little bit of context here. How did you get into the area of dreaming, and what inspired you to make it the focus of your work?
Well, actually, that's a dreaming story. So all the way back when I was 3 years old, I was having nightmares every night, and it was a lot. And I didn't like it, didn't know what to do about it. I went through my mind, like, what can I do? Can I just not sleep? What's the Guinness Book of World Records for that? Is it possible? And then I just kind of realized, oh, I've got to figure out how to deal with my nightmares. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help other people do that too. So that was kind of in the back of my head. And then I went through life and I did different things. I have always been captivated by images and how images move us. We can be in front of an image and it can cause us to feel something and feel something different. We can have an image in our dreams and we can wake up and still be talking about it all day long with people. So I worked in Hollywood for a little while. I worked in politics for a little while. And then I went back to get my PhD, and I'd started studying with my dream teacher this particular lineage of dreaming that I teach. And so when I was getting my PhD, I studied the cognitive neuroscience of images, and I just kind of brought it all together.
Okay. So dreaming, how would you define a dream from your perspective and your experience? Does it differ from the traditional definition of what a dream is? People go to sleep at night and images come up and we try to piece them together. But I think from what I read in your book that we were living and dreaming at the same time. It doesn't have to be regulated. Dreams don't have to be regulated to sleep.
Yeah, so we are dreaming all the time. There's a part of our brain called the default network for neural processing. And that is, hear the word default. It's really what we default to. And it's the imaginistic part of our mind, the creative part of our brain. And whenever we're not focused on a goal, so most of our day we're focused on a goal. We're doing checklists, we're doing a podcast, we're doing things like this. So we're thinking. But as soon as we stop, that default network kicks in, and that's the place of image-based cognition. It's where we kind of piece things together. We incorporate the emotions that we're feeling about all these experiences that we're having, and we think beyond it. So it's the part of us that can move us beyond pattern. That part of our brain is what gets super active when we're dreaming. So there's more factors to dreaming than that, but much of dreaming has been sort of located in that default network. I'll make it very, very simple for everybody. Have you ever been in the shower and suddenly an idea pops up, or you, oh yeah, this is how I can solve that problem? The reason that happens is we're not thinking in the shower. We're relaxed. We kind of zoning out, mind wandering, daydreaming. These are all terms, scientific terms, to refer to that process, what happens when we start using the cognition of the default network. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of dreaming awake.
Okay. So could that be, let me give you a personal example. When I was training for marathons, I remember running in Central Park, and I'd get to a certain point where I'd get into a kind of a high, like a runner's high, and also along the boardwalks on Jersey Shore. And I had written a book. And as I was writing this book, I'd have an issue, and the book issue would kind of break apart while I was running when I got to this state.
Exactly.
And then it would come together. The pieces, the jigsaw puzzle would recreate itself and it would work out. And I constantly solved issues. And I was like, where is this coming from? Why am I getting this while I'm running?
That's where it's coming from. And I'll tell you, I do all of my writing, the main part, you know, the execution of it is, you know, when you're sitting there and you're actually inputting it. But all the thinking part of my writing is either when I'm hiking or there's that sweet spot right when we wake up. And I cannot emphasize this more. Don't grab your phones right away. Right when you wake up, before you're fully awake, that in between sleep and wake. That's really a great creative time to just let thoughts kind of flow naturally and just kind of follow them.
Okay. The name of the book is The Secret Mind, Unlock the Power of Your Dreams to Transform Your Life. Through our dreams, we have access to practical tools for solving our problems. Talk to us about that and also the great dream of self.
Okay. Let's go practical first.
Okay.
So basically what I was saying at the last little bit there is the movement into the practical part. So our dreams are telling us something, and you asked me earlier to define dreams. So I make a very large definition of that. It's any sensation that we wake up with in the morning, and it might be a snippet of a song. It might be one image. It might be one color. It's the material of that inner space when we're asleep. So whatever that is, if people write it down, it becomes more elaborate over time. And we begin to remember more and more elaborate, but at the same time, simple. So those images are telling us about parts of ourselves and parts of ourselves that we don't pay attention to when we're so busy all day long. We're very busy people, and we don't take time to reflect. I'll give you an example, and this came up recently in a conversation with someone. He was on a hill overlooking LA, and there was this giant jet airline that was flying overhead and got right in front of overhead, did a U-turn, and then crashed and exploded in LA. Now, that's telling him something. It's not about symbology. It's not about going and looking up what does a jet mean in a dream. It's about feeling into it. There's this massive amount of energy that's on the move, that's going somewhere. And right at the top of my head, some kind of thinking comes in. It does a U-turn. And that U-turn makes it crash. So as we talked about it, he said, you know, I had just launched a business. And I was having second thoughts, and I pulled back. And after that dream, he then put the business back in motion, and it's very successful today. That's an example of, you know, this person was already very attuned to their dreaming, but someone who's not, even someone who is, hear that message. What energy in me is moving in one direction and suddenly U-turns? If we ask these questions and we start to play with what's happening in my daily waking time with that, that's the other way we dream while awake, because then we start to make changes in our waking time.
Okay, fantastic. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio today, Bonnie Buckner, PhD. The book is The Secret Mind, Unlock the Power of Dreams to Transform Your Life. Well, some of the basics that people have, Bonnie, are you know, some of the symbols. So let's talk about a couple of things. And just from your perspective, give us your insight. Sometimes when we dream, first of all, how many dreams do people usually have during the night?
Well, I consider it, all the amount of dreams that we have during the night as one dream. It's a lot of different impressions and sensations. I don't know how many we have. We move through different sleep cycles. We dream differently in the different sleep cycles, but we're dreaming all throughout our night. We just remember pieces of it.
Okay. And then some of the traditional symbols, let's talk about food. I was told that in a dream, don't eat the food if it's offered. If you can get to this point where you can be participatory in your dreams, which I'm pretty much there now, don't eat the food. Have you heard that?
I have never heard that. And I think it depends on what I'm being offered, right?
Okay.
If I'm at a grand banquet, I think I might want to sit down and eat the food.
Okay. How about deceased loved ones or friends who show up in dreams? I know when my father passed, about 3 days later, he showed up. He had his baby blue sweater on, and I looked at him. I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's me. And I realized it was him, in my opinion. And we just connected. And then he kind of let me know. He gave me a good feeling that everything's okay. And then he kind of, turned around and he was gone. But it was a good thing. He was just kind of letting me know. Is that typical? And what does it mean, if anything, when we dream of our deceased loved ones?
So typical, I don't know. I do hear that a lot from people. And I myself have had visitation dreams from loved ones who have passed. And as you said, in your opinion, he was there. So in my opinion, too, if it feels like a visitation dream to you, then let's call it a visitation dream.
Okay. So in your opinion, is it possible to have visitation dreams, or are these things that we are conjuring up and we decided like that's a visitation dream, so therefore it becomes a visitation dream because we said so? Or are there really visitation dreams?
I think it's possible there are visitation dreams. And I think the amount of experiences available to us in the world are much broader than what our very linear, statistic-driven society would allow.
Okay.
A great example of that is just intuition. We do know inside of ourselves the right decision for us. And yet people come to me often to work with dreaming and the work that I do just to make a big decision in their life. But in fact, they already know what they want to do. It's kind of like the dream I mentioned at the beginning. The jet had taken off. They know what they want to do. But then outside thoughts, belief systems, family pressures, things like this, restrain them from moving in that direction.
How about being naked in a dream?
Well, it depends on the dream. You know, for some
like
people,
in public, you're in a public place. Like I had a dream last week and I was in New York and I was naked and I was trying to kind of hide because I was naked. It wasn't as harrowing as you would expect. But it was like, oh my God, I have no clothes on. I've got to kind of hide behind this, tree. I was naked in the dream. And I looked up in this little book I found a long, long time ago that just has dream symbols. And it said, oh, that's a dream of the contrary. That's actually a really good thing.
So how would you understand that's a really good thing for you then?
I have no idea.
Okay. For me, I can't more strongly recommend that people do not look for symbols and symbolism. Okay. Dreams are incredibly subjective. It's you who's having that dream. It's mm-hmm. you who's dreaming it. So your understanding of it is the place that we go to start to decipher that dream. And the most interesting part to me is trying to hide in that dream, and also that it was not as harrowing as one would think. So I would be curious about that dream of, can I walk with myself being seen in a very exposed place? New York is a place with many, many people and eyes on me. Or am I going to keep hiding something? This is the kind of question that I would ask myself if that were my dream.
Now, in your book, you talk about 7 types of dreams, and you kind of kick it off with nightmares. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about what nightmares are? Should we fear them? Should we embrace them? And then the other types of dreams that we should be aware of.
Yeah, you know, nightmares are really common, and they're the ones that often get people to, you know, send me an email and say, can I make an appointment? And that's great, because nightmares, counterintuitively, nightmares are our friends, because they're showing us that somewhere in our inner experience and in our waking time, our emotions are tangled up. It's really simple. And nightmares are very acute. They're easy to understand. They're fear, they're anger, very easy to get emotions. And so when we either address the nightmare through like a waking dream exercise that we do by going back into the image and shifting it, maybe trying not to hide and see what happens in New York, or find something that is the right amount of clothing that works if we go back to your dream, mm-hmm. or we look at what is happening in our waking time that would create such a nightmare. Here's an example of that. someone who dreams they're in this overcrowded car, it's just packed, the music's super loud, it's too dark, they can't see, they can't drive, and they're about to go into a gaping hole. So this is a dream about too much, too many energies, too much going on that's going to lead to a crash. And this person was on a very extended work trip and was burned out, about to crash. Mm-hmm. So that person recognized that right away, called the office, said, I got to go back, I got to go home, regroup, and averted the crash. So we can work with the image itself, which I did, and the person imagines, they just close their eyes and imagine getting back in the car and putting on the brakes, and everything shifted. The sun comes out, everything shifts. And we can look at how that corresponds to our daily time and make a change there.
Okay, fantastic. How about some of the other types of dreams, including recurring dreams?
Yeah, so if we can go back to this car dream, right? If I didn't address those problems right then the body is going to give me another kind of nightmare, often like that or even that exact same dream. So we have to think about dreams, and this is how I look at dreams, as part of our body's adaptive mechanism for balance or homeostasis. So if this is happening and I'm pushing myself to the very brink, my body is going to signal it. Just like my body signals if I'm too hot and I start sweating, I need to cool off. Or if I'm too cold, I start shivering. We also have to deal with our emotional, mental, spiritual selves and keep those in balance as well. So the nightmare, if we address it, done. We can dream a new dream. We don't address it, we get a recurring nightmare. Still don't address it, we get a busy dream, because that's when everything starts piling up and it becomes this whole big to-do that we have to deal with. Those kind of go together. But then there's also a clear dream that's showing us block, but also potential. And that's when we can kind of really move our life forward.
You know, I frequently have this dream that I am, the dreamscapes can be different, but it's always I'm in a city, and it might not be, it's just a dreamscape city, and they're always different. And towards the latter part of the dream, I'm always looking for the directions that I have to get this train, I have to get home, I have to find, you know, the right schedule. And then the transportation logistics become an issue. And then I wake up. I must have had that dream 30 times. And I've explored it myself. And I say, well, I'm looking for some type of direction. I'm looking to find the right way. It's me. What's your take on something like that? And I only use as an example of some, I'm sure our audience has, you know, frequent dreams that recur, and they're not sure how do I wrestle that down?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. And there are a lot of dreams that have, you know, I can't find the ticket. I've got to make a plane. I've got to make a flight. This happens a lot. And it is exactly what you say. I need to make a connection somewhere. I'm in some sort of like in between space, and I need to move forward. And those are very, very simple to shift. You can just close your eyes, breathe out, imagine going back in, and find a way to get on the bus or the train or the plane or whatever you need to do and get moving again.
So you're saying, so when you wake up after you've had one of these dreams, you immediately think about it for a few moments before the kind of the veil comes down, and then go back in and put yourself into that same situation and then solve the issue?
Yeah, you can even wait, you know, you can let it sit and sort of think about it during the day and then do it in the evening. It doesn't have to be just immediately. You might need to, you know, sit with it for just a minute and see. Obviously, the sooner the better, so we can shift our inner imagery, energies and imagery. But it's not, if you miss that morning window, don't worry. You can do it when you get home from work, and you can sit quietly and just go back to that space and resolve it.
Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. Now, you might mention, you said seven types of dreams. Are there any others that stand out that the audience should know about?
Yeah. So we've been talking about unresolved dreams, right? Mm-hmm. So there's something that we've got to do to fix it. There's a little hiccup there. Mm-hmm. There's also resolved dreams, and these also correspond to our daily lives, in the sense of they're part of that human experience of awe and wonder. And it's a great dream or a light dream, dream of union, where you have this expansive experience, maybe a message, maybe a deep understanding about something, and really vibrant colors where everything just becomes so much more. And we do have those moments in life that when we fall in love, when maybe a child is born, or even if we're just catching, I saw on the 4th of July before the fireworks, the most sublime sunset. Those kinds of expansive moments shift our inside, and we also have dreams about them as well.
For the majority of people that you've spoken to, do people dream in black and white or color, or is it a mix? I know for myself, everything's in color all the time.
You know, most is color, but I've had some people come with black and white, but most dreams are in color. And I've worked with people who have various visual challenges, and they also dream in colors.
Okay. Our special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, Bonnie Buckner, PhD. The book is The Secret Mind, Unlock the Power of Dreams, Transform Your Life. It's a couple more things on dreaming. Is there a way that people can be more lucid, have more participation in their dreams? Is there any type of exercises they can do or things they can do where the dream isn't just happening around them, but they can be more responsive to what's happening?
Yes. And also, let's discuss for a second why that's a good thing to do.
Okay.
So one of the ways to do that is really just start being attuned to your dreaming. That's really, really important. Get a dream journal, start writing down your dreams every morning. Make a practice of dreaming. The more we pay attention to it, the more we'll be having vibrant dreams and start to understand our own dreaming language. Then we can start to move into this idea of becoming lucid. And the idea of becoming lucid in a dream is, for me, that it's important to know that we can become conscious to things. Because if we can become conscious in our dream time, we can also become very present in our daytime. So one of the ways that we can become more lucid in dreams is to know that we can come in, become lucid, and we can change something in the dream. So for someone who becomes lucid, for example, in this dream you've discussed of being in a city and not making the train.
Naked, looking for my train ticket, right?
Whatever, right? If you become lucid, you can get on the train.
Right.
And that's when we really connect our consciousness to our dreaming time and really start to make a lot of shifts.
Amazing. You talk about also the practice of writing down our dreams as soon as we wake up. And I assume that is, I used to keep a notebook next to my bed with a pen, and I get up a composition book, and I just would write in it. I never went back and read any of it, but I filled out over a 6-month period of time. I filled the book out and I just put it aside. And I found it was a positive exercise just to go through that, to be able to get up and just write, even in the middle of the night, everything that happened, and then go back to sleep. Or when I woke up, write everything down and then get up and start my day. Talk to us about the importance of the journal, how to do that the best way, and how to not let our devices get in the way of being able to record our dreams and be able to learn from them.
Yeah, devices are a big deal these days because there's a lot of people who sleep with their phones or sleep with the phone right next to them. I highly encourage people to not do that. Get a journal, put it by your bed, write whatever comes up immediately as you're in that in-between state, like you're talking about, get it down. Then here's one little thing that you can add to your practice. Go back at the end of the day and reread it. So not only is the practice of writing it down something that is going to, like you found it very positive, there's a lot of research around that as well. Just journaling itself, there's a lot of research around how helpful that is for our well-being. But writing down these ideas and thoughts, and then at the end of the day, go back and look at it and just see, and even say it out loud, read it out loud, what pops back, because there will be parts of it that will resonate And that's when we start to make connections between waking time and dreaming time and can catch ideas back to creativity that we can then bring into our waking time.
Okay. For the folks who you work with, clients you have, is there a trend that you notice that most people come in for the same type of situations? Of course, everything's a little bit different. Everybody's different. But are there certain themes that come up where somebody says, you know, I have to go see a dream counselor?
You know, I think everybody sort of attracts the kind of people that they vibe with. And so people who come to me are typically people who are, you know, really doing something in a career and wanting to find, like, maybe is there a next step in the career? Is there a next place that I can go? How do I enhance my creativity? How do I find purpose and meaning and go deeper in the work I'm doing? These are kind of the main things that people come to.
Okay. So the whole idea of creativity then, how do we, in layman's terms, kind of develop, enhance our creativity through understanding our dream sequences?
So one of the things that we can do is to just play with the images that come up. And I'll give you an example. Elias Howe, who invented the sewing machine, had been trying and trying and trying and trying and trying on this invention and failing. Then he has a dream that he's being carried off by a bunch of cannibals. And he notices in the dream that their spears have a little hole in the pointy part, in the tip of the spear. And he woke up and he realized in his work to make the sewing machine, he had been putting the hole in the other side. And as soon as he put the hole in the tip of it, it began to work. Now, that's not a linear one-to-one connection, but because he played with that dream, it became an invention that changed all of our lives.
Are there certain symbols that are kind of irrevocable, where that the same symbol means the same thing universally? Or do individuals have different symbolism that works for them?
All of us are creating a very intensely subjective, unique life. So there is no one symbol means everything everywhere. Example, I was working with someone from Ukraine, and in their dream, there's a czar. Now, I have, growing up in America, a certain idea of what a czar represents and means and all the different connotations that I would put into that. This person had something totally different. And it was by looking at how the czar is dressed, what the czar is doing in the dream, asking a couple of clarifying questions that I understood how incredibly positive this czar is in that person's dream and what it was evoking in terms of a big leadership energy in this person.
Amazing. And my special guest, Guys Guys Radio, the author of The Secret Mind, Unlock the Power of Your Dreams, Transform Your Life, Bonnie Buckner, PhD. So for our listeners out there and they want to start to be able to work with their dreams a little more functionally and effectively, what are some tips you can give them in terms of how to set up a proactive dream practice that can help enhance their creativity? And then how do they take it into their day-to-day lives? Give us kind of the journey.
Yeah, the journey starts simple. Get a journal that you really like and that you care about writing in and that you can keep. And start writing your dreams every morning. Put the phones away. Give yourself a technology buffer, is what I call it. 5 minutes even before you jump and grab the phone. Just lay in bed, let the images, the thoughts come up, write it all down. At the end of the day, go back, look at it, and ask yourself some questions like, what is this provoking in me? Is this some kind of, you know, answer to some of the problems that I'm working to solve? Is this something that is telling me about a, you know, tangled relationship or emotion that I'm having in waking time? And just start to understand your own dreaming language in that way. It'll get more and more clear the more you do that.
Now, is this what you call the waking dream method, or is that something different?
No, that's when you go back in and you make sure you get on the train. That's the close your eyes, re-enter the dream, and bring it from unresolved to resolved.
Now, if we have children, how can we work with our kids to help cultivate a dream practice for them?
I love that question because at the Institute, we have a Young Dreamers program called Dream Your World Kids. Kids are already dreamers. They're fantastic dreamers, and they understand that world of image. They don't put adult concepts and abstractions and thinking with it. So we often overlook that as adults. You know, a kid comes home and says there was a tiger in school today, and we think, okay, whatever, I have to make dinner. But there was a tiger in school because they understand that there was some kind of scary big energy and they're trying to talk about it. So instead of just totally dismissing, ask a question. Tell me more about that. Say more about that tiger.
Amazing. You talk also about great dreams, and too often it seems like when people talk about dreams, it's like they're having issues. They're having the quote unquote nightmares at various stages of intensity. But talk to us about great dreams and how we what we can do to have dreams that really are positive and that can help us.
So, surprisingly, it is true. A lot of people and a lot of the grist that makes it into media these days focus on the nightmares and the negative dreams, the problem dreams. But there's also a lot of people dreaming great dreams. And these dreams are sometimes simple. You know, people might wake up and say, oh, I know the university I need to pick, or oh, I know, you know, I need to go in this direction in my life. I've had other people say to me, oh, I had this beautiful dream of a scene on a beach or this, and I know that that's the content of my next book. Again, it's not one-to-one linear, but it pulls up something inside them that they've been sitting on, and they just needed that little bridge to make it emotionally important for them, which is one of the ways that the images and dreams work. We can think all day long, but we don't act until we're emotionally engaged. And dreams engage our emotions. They either prod us because it is troubling and it's scary and I want to figure it out, or they open us out to something because it's curious or interesting or big and it pulls up something we might have been sitting on that we now feel emotionally engaged enough to bring into being.
When we are getting towards that sleep state, we get in bed, and most people these days, unfortunately, they're scrolling and they're scrolling, and then by the time they're done scrolling, they're ready to fall asleep, and they just want to fall asleep, and then they have problems falling asleep. They just want to shut it down, and they're not looking forward to dreaming or learning something from their dreams. What are some of the practices that people can use to get the most out of dreaming? I know in the book you mentioned you t saying to yourself or even out loud that I'm going to have a great dream, and then you wake up and write it down. Talk to us a little bit about some of those practices.
So let's go back for a second to this technology buffer because it really also begins before we go to bed. So put the phones away, don't scroll, and just have some kind of activity that is a quieting, calming activity before going to bed. If you really think about it, we are nature, and the sun doesn't get to a certain point in the sky and then just drop. It gently sundowns. And we need to sun down as well. So if we start winding down our evening, put the phone away, have, I don't know, cup of tea, do a little restorative yoga, whatever your thing is, get quiet. That's how we start to cultivate the space to receive something in our dreams. Then, if we don't pick up our phones right away, we give ourselves 5, 10 minutes to just lay there, write the dream, and be in that space. We can capture that. And that is how we start to have more great dreams. So, if I'm scrolling, I'm probably going to see some things that are disturbing because there's a lot of bad news out there these days. That does not set me up to have a great dream, a really expansive dream. So, sitting quietly, preparing ourselves to sleep does wonders for our health as well as dreamers. And the writing down on the journal, you can write it down. Tonight I will have a clear dream and remember. That will also help with dream recall.
How about, I think a lot of people were in such a rush, you know, they eat and then they go to bed. And sometimes I would guess that they have dreams that are a reaction to the digestive system working versus dreams that could teach them.
Yeah, you know, anything, dreams come from our bodies, not our brains. So that's one big thing to put out here. And so anything that's in our bodies, spices, chocolate, you know, tea, coffee, food, anything is input. So also scrolling, that's another kind of input into ourself. All of that input is part of the recipe of us. If you think of each of us as a big soup pot, you know, what we put in determines what comes out in many ways.
Has that impacted over the course of our lives, the last, let's say, the last 50 years? Has dreaming changed due to technology kind of shutting us down?
Well, our dream recall and our experience with dreams changed with the invention of electricity. Before that, there's examples in diaries and in paintings made in England, for example, of people, families getting up in the middle of the night. They call it two sleeps. So one of the natural circadian rhythms when we're not exhausted and we're, you know, we're exhausted because we have
Right.
electricity and we can work until the wee hours. Before electricity, people would sleep 4 hours, have some time awake, and then sleep 4 more hours. So they called it the two sleeps in England. And there's record of families getting up and writing their dreams and talking about their dreams
Really?
together in that time. Yeah. And so as a community, we've lost that appreciation for dreams and that ability to come together and talk about dreams together. You know, human societies over history have dreamed together and we don't so much. So technology, start with electricity as technology that has disrupted sleep and shifted us.
Is there anything that we can do to enhance our self-love before we go to sleep so we have dreams that are more positive?
Yeah, don't scroll and be good to yourself. Do a calming, quieting thing before going to sleep.
Now, that I would think would include people don't watch videos and don't watch TV and give yourself a break between that time and the time you go to bed. And when you go to get bed, you know, get in bed and darken the room and relax and then drift off. Don't like immediately bring the phone and start flipping through Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. You know, think about it this way. Our whole day is spent looking out, doing, and having input come into our executive network, the part of our brain that's thinking about the things we focus on, goals, directed thinking. But we're having responses to all of these things. We're having emotions, insights, reflections, ideas. Knowings, our inner knowing about it, how we put these things together, how we understand something. But if we're just constantly inputting, we can't look inside and see how we feel about all that input.
Okay, last question. What's the number one kind of tip you could give our audience in terms of how to make the best use of their dreaming to enhance their creativity and enhance the quality of life they live in the waking state?
For me, the best thing is to take your inside seriously. And whatever the products are, we can call dreams that come up for you, look at them and see with a curious mind, is this a message to me in some way? Is this telling me about something that I can address in my waking time, a way of solving a problem in waking time, a new perspective about a relationship in waking time, and be open to it.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you, Bonnie. My special guest, Bonnie Buckner, PhD, The Secret Mind, Unlock the Power of Dreams to Transform Your Life. And it must be such a fascinating field to work in.
I love it.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights with me and our audience, and really delighted to have you. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating conversation with our special guest, Bonnie Buckner, PhD. We delved into a lot of different aspects of dreaming, and also looked at dreaming from a very different perspective than, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of our guests have come on and talked about. We've discussed symbolism and some of the usual blocking and tackling. What does this mean? What does that mean? And Bonnie takes a different route and helps us kind of capture our dreams, be able to transcribe them, and then have them activate into our waking lives as creative solutions, and also stemming from creativity. And her stance is that, you know, dreaming is not limited to being in the sleep state. And I agree with her. There's something called, quote unquote, a daydream. And we discussed, you know, when I used to go out and run, I kind of figured out chapter issues of my novel, and I was really in a dream state. And I think even when you're, as she mentioned, when you're in the shower, you can, something comes to you and it's like, that's dreaming. So Bonnie's work is based on how to help activate our dreams to be able to use them in day-to-day lives. So it's not just a blur of images that happen during the evening. Now, part of the challenges, and particularly nowadays, is that people go to bed with their phones and everybody's scrolling, and then they just drift off and fall asleep with their phone next to them. It happens all the time. I'm guilty of it, as well as anybody. So there's a couple of steps that are important, and I think this is the main takeaway of what we learned today, is if you really want to start to get more in touch and have more lucid dreams, you need to be able to transcribe them and be able to recall them before that kind of curtain comes down after you wake up. So the first suggestion is, before you're going to go to bed at night, you want to kind of dial down. You want to shut the TV off or get off the computer. You don't want to have the phone right next to you while you sleep. And you want to get yourself into a state of true relaxation. Another thing that Bonnie mentions that I think is a great idea, and I have done this, is get a composition book or some type of notebook and a pen. And the second you wake up from a dream, just grab the paper and write it down. Write everything that happened down and then put it down. You can go back to sleep again if it was in the middle of the night, because as often happens, we have numerous dreams during the night, and maybe some of the most important ones are the ones that we wake up and want to and end up writing down. So do that, get into that practice. And one thing that Bonnie suggested I hadn't been doing, I wrote a whole bunch of dreams down, but I never went back and read them, And she, I think, wisely stated that you want to go back and take a look at them because it could be incredibly helpful. So just think about dreams in a different way, and they can be real activators of our creativity and help us live our best lives. So keep dreaming, people. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.